This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Angie Craig. She's a member of the House Ag Committee, ranking member of the House Ag Committee for Minnesota. She'll join us in just a moment. First off, President Trump from the Oval Office Tuesday.
Well, you have to be able to compete. They're a great competitor. And DeMarc and I both know that. And you have to be able to compete. We have big advantages over China for lots of different reasons. And I think we're doing very well with China. I get along very well with President Xi. I'm going to be meeting him in a few weeks, as you know. I'll be meeting him in South Korea. But we've had a very good relationship for a long time. But you have to be able to compete. To do well with China, if you can't compete, you're not going to do well with China. And Canada is very competitive. I can tell you that. Canada is a very competitive country. I think Canada has done very well over the years with China.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today we're joined by the Honorable Angie Craig. She represents the 2nd Congressional District of Minnesota, ranking member, House Ag Committee. Great to see you.
Tony, great to be with you.
All right. First off, let's start with the 2nd Congressional District and just the areas around home and Minnesota. How would you describe current conditions back home?
Well, unfortunately, input costs for my soybean and corn growers has been extremely high. And I don't have to tell anybody just what's happening with commodities prices right now. And especially soybeans, we have lost about $2 billion of our market. And so, look, our growers have been decimated by this across-the-board trade war that the administration seems to be so obsessed with and tied to and ill-planned for when it comes to the impact on farm country. So, look, we got a great harvest this year. You know, a few more bushels will make up for really low prices a little bit. But if you don't have a market to sell into, that really spells a disaster for our family farmers in the 2nd District.
We're talking with the ranking member of the House Ag Committee from Minnesota, Angie Craig. More on the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is the Honorable Angie Craig, representing the 2nd District of Minnesota, ranking member, House Ag Committee. Let's talk tariffs. Are we moving the needle?
Well, let me start with that there are strategic reasons why an administration would put in place targeted tariffs. China steel dumping in Minnesota comes to mind. But this does not seem to be strategic in the slightest. And it was wholly predictable. I, in fact, predicted it from the start. And it was simply based on history. $30 billion in farm assistance was needed in the first Trump administration. But farmers were in better shape in the first Trump administration. And so what we're seeing right now is just truly extraordinary from this administration. They're, you know, bailing out Argentina with taxpayer dollars. And at the same time, China is moving its business for beans to Argentina. I've just never seen anything like this in my life. And the truth is, no matter what we do to help family farmers at this point, it's probably not going to be enough to undo the damage. And the truth is also, we're going to be right back where we are today a year from now, unless something changes from an administration policy on tariffs. I don't see a bunch of manufacturing coming back to the United States at this point. I don't see our national security risk decreasing or our food security risk decreasing. And as you said before, you know, exports are good. We want those markets. We want expansion of domestic markets for corn and soybeans and other commodities. And we want to find other countries, too, to sell our products as well.
You've kind of touched on this, but we've heard from the administration that assistance will be coming. The market's not there. The acknowledgement that China is not buying U.S. soybeans, and so some assistance rolling out this farm aid. There's been some other farm aid that's rolled out this year as well. What are your thoughts in general on this front?
Well, the money is not there to really address the pain that farmers across all the commodities groups and specialty crop growers are facing. But the administration seems intent on moving what we're hearing is $12 to $13 billion, which is what they have access to in payments to family farmers, the economic assistance. The challenge with that is it's going to pit one commodity group over another, most likely at those levels. Specialty crop growers will likely be completely left out. And at the end of the day, we're still trying to understand how they're planning to do this, because the CCC only had about $4 billion in it. And we'll see what they do, but it seems like they may try to dip into money that is there for ARC and PLC, as well as for CRP payments. And you can't rob Peter to pay Paul. So we'll see what they come out with. But what I'm hearing is going to be devastating. And frankly, Tony, if their assistance to family farmers is a penny less than the $20 billion they gave to Argentina from taxpayer dollars, I think that's going to be a slap in the face to family farmers across this country.
Kind of led us right into the next one here, talking about the CCC funds, the Commodity Credit Corporation. In the prior Trump administration, they did pull from the CCC for the MFP assistance there. But it really makes me wonder about the farm bill and the situation we're dealing with there. I know that quite a few things were covered in that one big, beautiful bill, but at the end of the day, do we still need a farm bill?
Well, we are in the process of sitting down with the majority, even in a government shutdown. I'm in D.C. right now, even with no votes, because my team and I are continuing to meet with one another and my team with the majority to talk through a skinny farm bill, what Democratic priorities might look like, what a true bipartisan bill might look like. But a lot of the funding was taken care of in reconciliation for the crop insurance program, for reference prices. The problem is none of those payments are going to go out until October of next year. And that is just too long, given how much pain there is in farm country. If we had been doing this as a 5-year, 12 title farm bill, we could have been creative and maybe come up with a new policy or mid-year payments or something like that. But there are still some farm bill items that are unaddressed. The orphan programs, in particular, rural development, farm credit. There are a number of programs that are not addressed. And so Democrats are at the table with our Republican colleagues, and we do hope that we can come to a bipartisan farm bill.
It's the ranking member of the House Ag Committee, Angie Craig, on the Agribusiness Report.
In today's tough farm economy, you need to make every dollar count. When choosing your cotton, consider West Texas varieties from Brownfield Seed and Delinnen. At only $125 a bag, these West Texas varieties are large seeded varieties that shoot out of the ground and have the yield potential that'll have you smiling all the way to the gin. Think outside the box and boost your bottom line with cotton seed from Brownfield Seed and Delinnen. Call 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, ranking member, House Ag Committee for Minnesota, Angie Craig. No farm bill yet. No extension of a farm bill. Without one, do we have permanent law coming?
Well, I think it's certainly, as I think about, what happens from here, we certainly know that anything that has to be funded in the skinny farm bill also has to have an offset in the farm bill. And so that could be a stumbling block for us. And then, I know before we came on, we were talking about just, we have these old laws on the books from the 1930s and the 1940s that would kick in permanent law if we don't get something done before midnight on December 31st. Of this year. And so we know that that would require USDA to start buying up commodities and dairy products. And that would create absolute havoc in a number of commodity sectors, but especially in dairy.
I'm just curious here as we conclude, because even though we're dealing in a shutdown, you're still as busy as you ever are, especially as a ranking member on the House Ag Committee. As we wrap up, though, I want you to look, kind of step back and look at the 20,000, 30,000 foot level. Is there anything that you're really optimistic about as we look down the road? Because obviously, ag is in trouble right now. Is there something that you're optimistic about?
Well, I would say that the current administration has given me no reason to be optimistic, but I still remain hopeful that many of my Republican colleagues will come to their senses and help us communicate to the White House that we need to get the government back open. We need to get assistance to family farmers. We need to make sure that we stay at the table to discuss the skinny farm bill. But more than that, look, if we really want to correct what's happening from a tariff perspective, we need to focus, Democrats and Republicans, on what are the market opportunities for our growers? What are the export markets that we have to work to get back? What are the domestic markets that the administration and Republicans and Democrats could work together to expand to help make up for some of these lost sales? And I'm thinking specifically about year-round sales of E15. I'm thinking specifically about a greater focus on biofuels in our country, on sustainable aviation fuel in our country. There are domestic market opportunities that if the Trump administration is going to shut down some of our export trading partners, business with them, then we've got to turn to aggressively expanding our export market. So, it's hard to be optimistic right now. I know that if Democrats and Republicans would come to Washington, and Republicans on the House side aren't even here, lock us in a room and tell us we're not going to get paid and we can't come out until we get a deal done, that a deal would be done. And, I didn't grow up in politics. I worked in the private sector for 22 years. And for the life of me, I still don't understand or comprehend how people can just stay at home and not work here in Washington when the government is shut down and not even reach out to talk to each other. It's, this is just not how the real world works. You get in a room and you mediate and you work together and you compromise probably to the point where you're both pissed off, but then you get something done. And that's what I'd like to see. I don't know if we're going to see it. It's a hell of a time here in Washington.
We appreciate you so much taking the time to update us on this, for your work there, and hopefully you'll come back and see us soon.
Thank you so much.
Again, it's the Honorable Angie Craig. She represents the 2nd Congressional District of Minnesota. She's the ranking member on the House Ag Committee on today's Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Dan Gaddis is second vice president, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers, on oil and gas leases and water.
If it doesn't specifically lay that out, then there's a huge concern that you've already lost potentially those rights. That's one of the things that we brought up in the Supreme Court case. You know, TSARA is going to continue to fight this fight. We were joining in an effort to ask for a rehearing to point out to the court that, you know, they grabbed hold of, you know, that they confused responsibility with ownership, and that one of the cases that they really hung their hat on, the language in that case really didn't say what it was, what there was quoted as saying. And it's a case that, you know, they just grabbed out of nowhere. I'm not sure really where it came from. So there's a lot of concerns in that. We're going to continue the fight. We've asked for a rehearing. That was denied. But we'll continue through the legislative process and other ways to try to have what we think is really a wrong decision righted in some form or fashion.